They say everyone has a book inside them, and often that's where it should stay. I really can't help but be aghast that the author wants you to pay. But we're just a pair of absolute bookends, you don't want to be like us. So if you want to read, pick some quality literature, rather than this dross.
Hello, welcome to Two Absolute Bookends, where we read books so bad you should burn them before reading. This is episode 33, G.I. Jake. And beside me, letting me harvest his DNA seed this week is, as ever, my good friend Louis.
Hello.
This time, we're going to be reading chapter 21 of The Way the Stars Fall Rebirth by Lewis Stockton. Support the author, you know, on Patreon, buying his books and fan fictions, all sorts of places. Come on, guys. So, we are back in the beautiful world of the ITF Tranquility, as you can tell. We're going to be joining our old pals, if that is the right word, and it certainly isn't. Jack, Hollister, Tona, with an angry Tiberius in the background yelling after him. Fargus is still sat on his fat ass somewhere. Oh, what a time. So, are you excited, Louis? Are you ready for this?
I am. It is good to be back after the madness that was Sonic High School.
Yeah, it was. I know I said this a lot in the last episode, but it was too much. It was too long. It was a mistake.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice to come back to this now familiar territory. Although, having said that, I've completely forgotten what happened,
yeah,
or where we were left off, and
like
not sure if that's my fault entirely or.
Well, it has been a long time. Like, not only was there like 8 episodes of Sonic High School we did, which is months. Let's be honest. If we were on time, it would have been months, and we're always lazy and shit. So multiple months.
I don't think the book helps though with its many sort of seemingly random story lines,
yeah,
going nowhere,
and just dropped for no reason. Just, oh, we'll just have an insurrection, and they're gone. Oh, we'll be mining, and the aliens have killed everyone. It's a little all over the place.
So where did we leave off?
So they're in the alternate universe. You remember that, right? You remember that they're a trading ship, and they're now,
mm-hmm.
and because they got this warp thing cargo, they're in a different universe. Then they got attacked by evil Fargus on Deep Space Trade Voyage Station 58. They ran away, joined the insurrection for like a week. Then, because Tona had been bugged while she was captured, the Imperial fleet led by Tiberius Hunter, Jack's alternate universe evil doppelganger, who I assume has a goatee beard, he attacked them and let them escape for some reason, just so they could destroy the insurrectionists, despite this being the, you know, the best chance, as they were surrounded in an infinite universe and they just ran off into it. But whatever, that's fine. Then they went mining for a while. And yep. While mining, they found an alien egg. And despite Jack even realizing what a bad idea it would be to hatch, he decided to take it on board Tona's ship. Oh yeah, because he made Tona a captain after he started boning her, because that's okay. And she now has a ship that everyone's going to die on, which is also great. But yeah, so on that ship, the alien comes out. Tona tries to stop it, gets captured. Jack takes a landing party in, they kill the aliens, manage to rescue Tona, blow up the Vortmund, happy days. But then, while the ship's just flying about, they go towards a wormhole, which they think will help them get home, based on nothing, really. But mm-hmm. that's the going plan. Then they get ambushed by what remains of the insurrectionists, who Jack managed to piss off by not fucking their leader. It's an odd political system that they've decided to take it out on Jack rather than, you know, the evil empire that's been, like, oppressing them their entire lives. But can't get bogged down in details. And while that happens, Tona turns into an alien, kills half the ship, and escapes in an escape pod through the wormhole. Which, it turns out, goes back, like, 50,000 years into the past. Jack follows her for some reason. I don't know. It sounds like it's to kill her, but then he decides it's to rescue her later, and it's all fucked up. And that brings us up to close to here. He takes a small strike team onto the planet to try and rescue Tona, but instead they just find an inexplicable alien queen who is now our antagonist for some reason, who is laughing at them, and then that's about where we are, I think. Are you with us?
Do I have to be?
I don't think it helps. I don't think it helps.
Yes, yeah, so that's... This chapter's called Mission Failure Retreat. Retreating is a hot topic in this chapter.
Oh, it is. Fucking hell. So, yeah. So, basically, what happens in this chapter? That the queen attacks them. They try and... they sort of retreat. That, again, put a big asterisk next to that because it's important. After they get back to the ship, Jack goes full retard and decides to go and rescue Tona on his own, despite the fact she tried to kill them a minute ago. That goes about as well as you can expect. Actually, no, it goes a lot better than you would expect, because she starts making out with him for some reason. Then he gets rescued by the strike team that came to rescue his sorry ass. He gets airlifted out, and Hollister totally Shreks the alien fleet as they retreat towards him, and that's what happens.
And they achieve nothing, actually. Now that you've summed it up like that, they achieved nothing.
Yeah, no, nothing. They go down there to rescue Tona, and nothing happens. Yeah, I mean, the only thing I will say is that because it appears that the Rikari are now shit, none of them die. So I guess you can say there was a net gain of them killing a lot of Rikari.
Yeah.
But, you know, they did not achieve their objective.
Of going home.
Yeah. In fact, when offered the chance of possibly going home or going 50,000 years into the past in what I'm assuming is still an alternate universe, that's the route Jack chose. Not only a different universe, but a different time. So further away from home is the only way home.
Yeah, so the chapter starts in the room with Queen Vilzena. Vilzena.
Mm-hmm. I'm fond of Vilzena, but it's fucking dealer's choice. Who can tell with bullshit names like these?
Yeah, so Queen Vilzena is being fired on by Jack and his crew, I suppose. But it's obviously not doing anything because she is like immune to bullets, yeah. Like most of the...
She is covered in dead skin. Well, you say that, mm-hmm. But they're fucking blasting them to pieces in the rest of the chapter.
Yeah, that's true.
It just seems, despite the fact that... may as well have this bitch now. You know, her and Tona, they just totally shrug off all fire. It's just annoying to them. And earlier on, they're like, oh, we have to unload, like, all of us shooting together have to unload a mag to kill one Rikari. Then, a few chapters later, they were killing them with a knife. Now, they're just fucking falling like flies. They're nothing. Just completely went from being deadly threats to just being complete jobbers.
And you'd expect that, well, I'm going to propose something as well, but you'd expect that if this is like the main base, that they'd be stronger. But what I was going to propose was, could you make the argument, and I don't know if this lines up, that the Rikari they were struggling to kill earlier are like evolved future generations of what they're fighting now?
I mean, possibly. I mean, like, this is all such a weird, unexplained, woolly sci-fi thing. You can make up a lot of excuses, like, that could be one, you know, these are all...
I mean, that's my excuse. I don't think that's the author's excuse.
I mean,
that's
like...
my excuse.
I mean, like, I'm sure that he, like, goes, oh, these are soldier forms, like the ones we fought before, kind of thing, in, like, classifying them. But, yeah, I mean, maybe that, you know, they were just grown differently for whatever reason, because this is... the past. I mean, that's probably the most sensible reason, but I don't know. Who fucking knows? I think we all know why. It's because, you know, for this to make any sense, they had to be able to be ripped apart by fire. Yep. If they were as tough as they were earlier on, there would be no non-bullshit way that everyone could not be dead at this point. So suddenly, I mean, they invent the bullshit way of them all being really weak. Just getting ripped apart by a gun. It's fine now. Just don't think about it.
I think Queen Vilzena basically orders Tona to kill them.
Yeah.
Flaring her hands with long talons that stretch out from where her nails were.
Yeah, man. Like, what are the mechanics of that? That's what I want to know. Where are these long nails coming from?
What do you mean? The end of her fingers, I guess.
Yeah, but it's like makes it set. It's like they're growing out, though. Where were they hiding?
In her fingers.
But then how can she like move her digits if there are like solid nails inside them?
How, you don't know how long they are.
Oh,
it's just they're long. That probably gives you an idea of how long.
I mean, maybe long. She has like massive hands, so you know, like the last like section of her finger is like a foot long or something.
Maybe she doesn't need to bend her fingers.
Yeah, maybe they're entirely decorative and they're all just like completely splayed at all times with the nail going through them.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It reminds me, it pisses me off. It's like in the third X-Men film where there was like a Lady Wolverine and that was basically her thing. She had the nails coming out the end of her fingers. And I was like, bullshit. How does that make any sense at all? How did she move her fingers?
And then everyone's like, please leave the cinema.
I was like, Peter, we're trying to enjoy the film. You're yelling again. No, we're in public.
This is
total BS.
Popcorn everywhere.
I'm leaving. I don't want to watch it.
Yeah, so Tona is obviously being commanded by this queen and has the same effect as being shot at in that it does nothing.
Yeah. It just
to her plasma to her skin.
Just
the plasma does nothing.
It just poofs in a little shiny corona all on her skin.
So Jack, knowing when to back out, tells his team to retreat.
Mm-hmm.
But then he's like, what are you doing? I said pull back.
I said yeah. Pull back.
Which, don't make me say it again. Which he tells to Major Nielsen, who we've met before,
mm-hmm.
I think.
We have.
And he informs Jack that they do not retreat, they are Marines.
Yeah, and despite this being the most retarded thing I've ever heard, apparently Jack understood this frame of mind. The Marines' motto was no retreat, no surrender, only in death does duty end. Just fuck me.
Brilliant.
What? Do you know why there's no military tradition of never retreating, Louis? Because all of those people are dead, and they accomplished nothing.
And isn't this, like, insubordination?
Yeah, it is open insubordination of an order. You know, that's the thing, like, even if you were that macho retarded,
and
being ordered by your boss
dead.
Is your out of, like, well, I didn't want to retreat, but, you know, we were ordered by the captain to do it. We could have had them if we'd stayed, blah, blah, blah. This is literally disobeying an order in the field. What the fuck? If
like,
Jack
I guess
wasn't
if
such
your,
a...
If your commander was like, we're not retreating, let's stand and fight, you would have to take his orders, but that's not what's happening.
Yeah, it's just, why? It's just so stupid tactically. Like, it's just why would anyone be like, well, you know, we're standing on the top of this hill and people are just bombing us here and there's no strategic value of holding this hill, but we don't retreat, so we're just going to stay here until we're turned into fucking mush. It's like,
also,
no
like,
one.
When did this shipping company suddenly have, like, hardcore Marines?
Oh, yeah, like, it's like Marines willing to fight to the death.
And deliver your cargo.
Exactly.
To the death.
Ali, yeah, just, where did these people come from? Why does... It's like, I will give it to them. I understand why in this universe where it seems like there is, like, space piracy, they need some security. They do need some people. We've already had, like, 30 soldiers / security people die in the book so far, at least. So it's like, how... And how... It's at this rate, like, half of the ship was security and Marines and shit like this. Why? Who was loading the cargo?
Mm-hmm. And then Jack comes up with the brilliant tactical strategy of saying, do not retreat, follow me, I'm reinforcing the shuttle crew. Smirking. That smirk.
Reinforcing backwards, you sly dog.
Because the Major is not stupid, merely stubborn.
No, he's stupid. It's really fucking stupid.
Like, the fact that they'd be like, we will fight to the death, and then like get like mind hacked by this one neat trick. Will
yeah, 10 tricks to stop your Marines from being retarded that'll blow your mind.
Yeah, this really works.
It's just like a picture of Jack smiling, just
smirking.
Smirking Jack's marine tricks.
Well, you're making this ad.
Don't retreat, reinforce. Yeah, it's just
there's like a red arrow pointing towards like the edge.
It's just an autist interested in military history, this just hurts me so much. Mm-hmm. Just the idea of a group not being willing to retreat from an unfavourable situation because of fucking bravado like this. Like, it's not even like... The thing is, they could have... If they framed it so they were like... So, like, some of the group was like, we have to hold them off. It's the only way you'll escape, Captain. You know, like, they're coming on too thick and fast. If we try and retreat, they'll just overrun us or something. You know, that way they could have had that, oh, brave Marines kind of thing. And it would have made at least a bit of sense, just like we had, like, of why they couldn't retreat. But no, everyone just admits it's retarded and just rolls with it anyway.
Yeah. So after that technicality, the Marines begin to retreat. I mean, do a tactical withdrawal.
Yeah, get it right, you shit.
And then the most complicated and confusing description of how they did this tactical withdrawal is laid out. I mean, it's quite long. I don't ever want to read it. But essentially, it involves... I don't know. Like, when I imagined it... I can't remember what I imagined it as.
I think you remembered it as like moving in like a spinning semicircle or something.
So imagine the swastika, I think what I imagined is a swastika, but
I don't remember that.
But like a smooth swastika, you know, like if it was curvy. Curvy swastikas are beautiful. Okay,
that's my new fetish.
And they're moving around in like a sort of fan. Shape.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, they're doing the tactical helicopter.
Yeah, basically, and as like one side comes round, they're shooting and then like reloading as they go back round, but also moving in a direction. Mm. That's what it sounds like to me.
But I think that's what's happening.
No.
Now, I will admit that the more that they talk, the less sense what's going on makes. You know, I can't defend it, but I think what's happening at the start is like they have a line and then one guy moves back, he fires through the hole, like, you know, he runs back 50 feet or whatever they say, stops there, turns around, fires back through the hole he made. The next guy down the line, he runs back the 50 feet, turns around, fires through the hole he made, and they sort of like move back in a wave, I think.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if you imagine it, that's quite odd. So they're like, they're creating like a wave as they move backwards.
Yeah.
And then apparently when they get to a corner, not like, I guess where it diverges into two pathways, they split the team and then just go down different corridors, doing the same thing.
Yeah, that's what it describes, which confuses me, because then it says until they all make it down the corridor. Down what corridor? Where are they going?
I assume they all just go to the same place.
Yeah, so, but what are they saying about splitting up then?
I don't know.
Like, he describes what happens at the corridor, but I don't understand what's happening. It's like, when they come up to a corner, they split the team into the same number as the corridors. So, let's say he comes to a four-way intersection, that's four teams, okay? I guess. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless they're not including the one they're coming from. I don't know. I don't know if it makes a difference at this point. And each one split off just the same until they all made it down the corridor they were reinforcing towards. What the fuck does that mean?
I think it just means that they split up and it just so happens that all the corridors go to the same place.
I don't know. I think probably what he was trying to, like, explain was that everyone, like, they covered all the, the other two corridors while everyone moved down the corridor they were coming back down. Then they kind of fed back or something. It's not what's being described. Don't get me wrong. That's definitely not what's being described. But that's what I think must have been meant. But yeah, and one little gem that we kind of glossed over is that apparently Jack later understood this was called a tactical withdrawal. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess that means he got to the age of being like a 40-year-old ship captain that apparently controls 80 Marines without knowing what a tactical withdrawal is.
And I wonder how he like found that out. Like he was reading a book or something and then went, oh.
Maybe, yeah, maybe this is like a year later, like when Jack's writing down these memoirs. It's like, oh, that was part of a tactical withdrawal. I was like imagining him like running next to Major Odell being like, so, what do you call this? Like, it's a tactical withdrawal, Captain. Thanks. Jack like just jogs back a little. Now you see, what I originally, like when I first read this, what I originally pictured was that they were like moving back in sort of like, not one by one, but they were like doing it in a split line. Like every other person ran back 50 feet, then shot through the hole. And then the other 50 people ran back through those holes, and we went back that. But that doesn't seem to be what I was describing. It does seem like we're right, and they are doing it like one at a time in a wave.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I know, not the seems so much stupider to me, but maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, and so they get to the... somehow they manage to get to the landing pad. A bit dizzy, I imagine.
Yeah, lots of spinning.
Yeah.
The tactical helicopter wears heavily on mind and body.
Where, like, a shuttle crew, I guess, is waiting for them.
Mm.
And there's Rikari everywhere. And there's apparently different kinds of Rikari now. There's a flying breed, which are attacking from the air by either dropping acidic pouches as bombs or making strafing runs. Like
four making strafing runs.
Oh, yeah.
Even though it definitely should have been all.
As bombs, four making strafing runs like an in-atmosphere fighter.
Either what? But yeah,
yeah,
that four's definitely meant to be an or. It's the only way it makes
it's
sense.
Either with one thing in it.
Just either, or they just go home.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't believe that nobody dies with all of this shit going on. How shit are the Rikari now? And also, actually, like something that... What happened to Tona? Like... Tona was like got sicked on them by Queen Vilzina. They started retreating, not unreasonably, but then she's gone. Tona's gone. Mm-hmm. She's stopped attacking them. Despite the fact she is impervious to their fucking ammo, they just go, eh, fuck it. And you know, after they like move 50 feet down the corridor, she's like, oh, I'll just go back and sit down. The other Rikari will
get it. To be fair, she doesn't know what's out there. Like, you know, she might be walking out to where, like, the tranquility is and she just gets absolutely shreked or something, I don't know.
I know, like, these are like, weird, like, hive aliens. You would have thought that the Queen would know roughly what was going on elsewhere. I mean, maybe not. It's quite...
I mean, it's Tona. What the fuck do you think?
I mean, yeah, I guess we can't expect competence from her, no matter who she's working for.
And she's got to, like, get... She's got to follow them in her... skin high heels.
Yeah. Maybe that's it. She was following them the whole time, but it slows her down. You know, she can only go at a walking pace, or she falls
These are
over.
So impractical.
Why would you like design me like this?
Why would evolution make it like this?
Show me one creature that looks like this. This is proof there is mutation. No god.
Yeah. So yeah, apparently they were expecting a snatch and grab it operation, not an extended defense, and so they're starting to run out of ammo.
Mm-hmm. I'm still not sure if I approve of them referring to their ammo as magazines as they're firing like energy bolts.
Yeah,
as,
that triggers you.
As you know, I don't know that much about guns, to be honest, but I'm sure that, like, magazines refer to, like, a thing full of, like, bullets. So, are they, like, separate plasma bullets? I mean, maybe. God knows how this fucking bullshit tech works. I guess it makes as much sense as anything else, but still seems weird to me. But I guess I have to let it pass, because how do you disprove something so retarded and nebulous, I guess?
And Shuttle 5 arrives... Finally.
About time.
Yeah, and basically he, as he's getting on it, he realizes he can't leave Tony behind, obviously.
Yeah.
Even though she's this fucking alien monstrosity, he can't leave her behind. Even though they just left her behind.
Yeah, like...
Like he very specifically ordered a retreat away from her.
Yeah, away from her specifically.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't shoot her. Which they were trying to do. They were all standing there firing guns into her face.
So I guess his logic is, well, if they couldn't do it then, he'll go back by himself and be able to do it.
Yeah, because Jack, the paragon of competence, can definitely succeed where, like, 30 Marines fail.
So he basically just yanks someone's gun off them and jumps off.
He does what we in the business call goes full retard.
Yeah.
And you should never go full retard, Louis.
And tells the pilot to circle the area and then land back here in 5 minutes.
And, yeah, like, you've got to remember what an absolute cunt this makes Jack. Because this shuttle was, like, under massive heavy fire from the Rakari for all the time they were gone. He's going back with his men, who are running out of ammo, onto this fucking ship that's been under sustained attack for, like, 10 minutes or however long they were gone for. And now Jack's like, just wait here while you're being constantly attacked. You're running out of ammo. While I do something that I definitely won't succeed in, I'm definitely running to my death. But, you know, just wait 5 minutes and then you can leave if you're not already dead.
I like this bit here where it says, with a deep breath, he grabbed a handful of clips off the ammo rack.
Are they clips or mags?
When I first read that, I thought it said chips. Like, there was just a bowl of chips on the helicopter.
One for the helicopter, road. You know,
on the it might as well be. On the shuttle. Just chips, yeah. One for the road.
Complimentary ships. Chips.
Shuttle area.
Yeah, it's just... he is such... I mean, we can't overstate what a bad captain Jack is. Just
I just imagine them all going like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Jesus Christ. Frack's sake.
Yeah. Frack's sake.
It's just like, he keeps saying that his one job is to, like, get his crew home alive, and then he does something so dangerous. You know, he was taking what was already a suicidally dangerous mission for his Marines, but, you know, so, like, fair enough, it had an objective, and it relied on surprise. You know, they were all idiots to go on it, but at least, you know, it had that going for it, if you get me. But now they've been found, they're being attacked, and now he's just like, oh, I'm just going to do something even more retarded and dangerous. He's just risking the life of his men so willy-nilly.
Yeah.
Remember like earlier on when he, like, freaked out over two people dying in an attack?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was, like, traumatised for life, and now he's just like...
And he's like, you guys wait here to probably die while I go to probably die.
And pass the Doritos.
Papa Jack's got a hunger on him. Pass the dip.
Once you pop.
Quickly, there's a special slot in my bandolier for dip. Pour it in. It's all right. I can clip the Doritos to my helmet. Oh yeah, that's right, they're wearing helmets, so he could, like, open up a hatch, pour the Doritos in,
yeah,
slam in some dip, and then just eat as he runs.
Yeah, like you said, the Marines are hanging from the hatches, covering Jack, which is not got a capital J.
They're, like, literally hanging on the outside of this flying...
Yeah.
of this flying ship Wait that's here. Being shot okay. at. And he's like, you guys are good for five, right? No.
Yeah, sure. I'll just hang here.
Get it? Remember when I said last mag a minute ago? That was optimistic.
You just stole my gun, Jack. You fuck.
And the chips. I was hungry.
Even Jack knows this is terrible because it says Jack regretted his decision to go back the moment his feet hit the landing pad. I just like the idea that he landed and was just like, oh shit.
Mistakes actually, have been made.
Yeah.
Also, go back, Jack. They're right there.
Yeah.
You know, what's the worst that's going to happen?
He looks like an idiot.
Which he already looks like an idiot in doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Pretend you just fell off.
Brave. yeah.
You know, I think given the shitty situation you've left them in, they will be happier having to, like, hover down to let you jump back on than waiting in the air for another 5 minutes. I think like they'd prefer it.
Yeah. Like you said, a Rikari charges him and gets absolutely devastated. Is the quote ripped apart by the super hot plasma?
Yeah.
So compare that to those amazing puffs and.
Yeah, just like everyone, you know, the entire security team in perfect formation, amazing puffs from their combat shotguns, nothing.
I suppose they were just using the wrong type of ammo.
I guess, but I mean, like, when the Marines, like, attacked the Vaultmund, it was like, there's 10 of us firing in two lines, and it took our entire clip to kill that one Rikari.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's, like, just Jack and his plasma repeater shrekking it.
So he's actually cut off at the first door he comes to. So he, out of either stupidity or just desperation...
Stupidity.
Yeah. He jumps off the edge of the landing bay and slides down the hard skin walls until he landed on a lower balcony.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they have balconies?
Siesta at, like, the Hive.
Yeah.
It gets hot, you know.
Like, I can't picture this universe. It's never described, like, what, you know, you could go into quite a lot of detail of, like, building the atmosphere of the palace, and I don't even know, like, it's a, yeah, there's just no, I've got no idea what this looks like, whether it's big, whether it's, like, dark, whether anything.
Yeah, like, I know, half the time it sounds like it's just, like, basically a giant termite mound, but then the other time it just sounds like basically a palace, but just, like, carved out of this dead skin.
Yeah, for some reason I'm picturing it as, like, gold, but, like, really bright and sort of almost like a. For some reason, I think I'm thinking of like beehives, and that's where I'm getting the gold from.
Yeah, I can see that. I say I was going more termites and imagining it, but yeah, bees work too. You know, those bee balconies, you know, when you go down to the beehive, they're like sitting out there, sunning themselves, having a little sleepy.
I don't understand.
Who's using the balconies? From what I can tell, the only two sapient things is Tona and Queen Vilzina. The rest are just, like, animals that get directed, mm-hmm. basically. Why the fuck does this thing need balconies?
Also, aren't there, like, flying things? So wouldn't they just, like, fly after him?
Yeah. Yeah. To be honest, like, if Jack can make the jump, I don't know why some of the Rikari up there don't just follow him down and land on the balcony too. You know, aside from the fact that because this is, like, their home, the entire hive should be swarming all the time anyway, but whatever.
And it apparently takes him almost 2 minutes to get to the Great Hall they had been in.
Yeah, apparently without any incident, after jumping on the balcony, he didn't see anything else worth noting. He just ran through the corridors.
Yep, in 2 minutes. That's not a long time, really, to retreat like they did.
I mean, we don't know how long the retreat took, did we?
I suppose so.
I don't think it's said. They could have been...
Maybe he took a shortcut.
Yeah. Maybe, you know... I mean, I guess that means that they had to, like, go upstairs, actually.
How does he plan to get back? Like, slide up the wall?
I guess take the stairs he took.
Yeah. Maybe they'll be gone by then.
Yeah. Maybe all the Rikari will be dead.
They've just forgotten.
Yeah.
As soon as he slid down the thing, they were like, where's he gone?
Oh, you know, okay, let's go. Yeah, he puts on a sombrero and a poncho, and he's like, hey, siesta. And he's like,
I am Rikari.
Rikari, Rikari.
Makari. Tips. No. Hard skin. There's a meme.
That only us will get.
Yeah. Yeah, and... he makes it there, as you said, with no problem whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And he has 2 minutes, apparently, to grab her, and one to run through the back of the Rikari at the landing pad to get to the shuttle, or he would be left behind. So I like how the crew, the Marines, are like, we'll never retreat. But then they'll be like, he's been longer than 5 minutes, let's go. Like,
it's fine. Hollister will be like, quickly, reinforce the ship. And they'll be like, okay.
one minute they have this, like, never leave a man behind, never retreat attitude, and then it's like,
yeah,
well, 5 minutes, see ya, Captain. Although, probably they're, it, like, dying to leave him behind.
Probably.
They're like, hasn't it been 5 minutes yet?
Actually, I'm going back, is this, what he actually says is, circle the area for 5 minutes, then land back here. He doesn't tell them to actually leave or go anywhere if he isn't back. He doesn't give them any instructions what to do in the incredibly likely event that he doesn't manage to rescue Toner and get back there in 5 minutes. I never realised that. What the fuck?
So he gets to the Queen, the Queen's room again.
Yeah.
And the Deja Queen tells him that that he's foolish to return. Sitting on a throne this time, not getting up. She's tired.
How rude.
And then Jack, as he steps forward, is suddenly hit in the chest and...
knocked to his arse.
falling on his arse.
I know, that bit of just random, like, English colloquialism just made me chuckle. Because, you know, to any of... because, you know, it's the proper British arse, none of that American ass business. If you'll pardon the expression.
Just, like, suddenly in this, like, galactic... story of space travel and alien combat. Suddenly, just someone falling on their ass.
Ooh, me ass! Fucking Rakari.
That hurt took morning. So as Jack's on his ass, he fires an entire clip into this thing that's knocked him out over, only to discover that it's Toner, so it's going to do absolutely jack shit.
Good job trying to rescue her. Just turns up and shoots her some more. Going all to plan.
Better fire this entire clip into something.
It's fine. He grabbed plenty, so none of his soldiers would have one.
Also, he's firing a plasma gun. Again, like, we don't know how it works. It could be anything.
Mm.
Why is there a muzzle flash on a plasma gun?
Unknown. I mean, like I say, to make the terminology make sense, these literally have to be bullets that just, like, fire like a bolt, like a lump of plasma. So imagine they've still got, like, gunpowder inside them, but rather than, like, a lump of metal, they just fire a lump of plasma. And that way, we can still have muzzle flashes and mags. But I don't think that's a good way to manufacture ballistics.
And Toner's alien form isn't interested in reasoning with him and just grabs his collar. And she apparently has clawed hands as well.
She had clawed hands before. That was the point.
Yeah, I didn't say... No, wasn't it Vilzina that had the
No, it was claw? Toner. It was she was like, go get him, my Toner. And she was like, Queen. Yes, Queen.
I read it as...
You read it wrong.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I am right. Yes, Queen.
Yeah, so she rips open his helmet, and that's a problem for Jack, because this atmosphere... Oh, no, it's not your oxygen atmosphere.
Oh, no, it is not good for Jackie boy.
It's your alien-type atmosphere. Yeah. It's not breathable.
Alien TM atmosphere.
But then, out of nowhere, she kisses him.
And kiss. this is so fucking weird.
Yeah.
Why?
But not the strangest thing that's happened to him. It was one of the weirdest things to happen so far, but being kissed by an alien form of his girlfriend was just under being pushed into an alternate dimension. Close, but not the strangest.
Phew, at least it's not the strangest. And yeah, and
I like to think that Jack was like having that thought in his head as this happened.
I mean, I guess there's not much else to do. He's just, you know, hanging there, being held up, tongued by his alien girlfriend. Yeah, one thing that we skipped past. They've spelled APAG differently again.
Oh yeah, APG.
Remember back in the titular APAG chapter?
Yep.
When there was like 5 different fucking variations of APAG? That isn't one of them. This is a new one.
Brilliant.
A new and exciting one for the boys and girls, just to make sure they have no idea what the fuck they're reading. But yeah, and super weird, after he kisses Tona, well, she kisses him, let's be honest, he can breathe the atmosphere now. He has a coughing fit and, oh, suddenly he can breathe alien atmosphere. What the fuck does... How? What? Questions?
I guess it's to give justification for the random sexualized scene.
I mean,
with Tona.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. The only, like, I don't know why they didn't have the atmosphere fine for humans. It's like it's just been writing in circles. They have an atmosphere that humans can't breathe, so they have to wear their helmet. But there has to be this weird, aggressive, sexual kissing scene with Tona, so he has to break the helmet. Ah, but because the atmosphere's bad, he can't breathe the atmosphere. So, and I'm imagining this is the point where the author's just like, you know, just sitting there for 2 days, you know, just walking in the woods, you know, screaming on hillsides, you know, having sleeping naked in self in like what are they called, those isolation tanks, you know, trying to find the answer to this horrific riddle of writing.
Those deprivation tanks.
What are they called? What?
Deprivation tank, I think.
Maybe. I don't know. You know what I mean, though.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. But no, and that's where it's like, just, it happens to him, you know, he smashes out of the tank, just like, yes, yes, I've got it. You know, he's running across the room, naked, picks up a pen, grabs a bit of paper. Her kiss lets him breathe the atmosphere. It's done.
Slow claps.
It happened. It doesn't make any sense. How? What? Is there something on her fucking tongue that she jammed down his throat that lets him... Is there like a tiny Rakari that like changes the atmosphere as it goes through that she like tongued down his throat and now he can breathe? I mean, that's the thing. That's the answer that makes the most sense. Think about that.
Why can't it just be the power of love?
Because this isn't the fucking end of a shitty anime.
And you would know.
I would know. I've seen that happen enough in my time. But yeah, just why? What the... It's so bizarre.
And, yeah, and then just as he's, like, being able to breathe... She gives him a thick kick to his ribs.
Yeah, I do so like thick. That. Thick kick.
I like my kicks thick.
Exactly. Thick, son. But yeah, it's just, he's getting some very mixed signals here. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
They've got like, you know, one of those real aggressive relationships. You know, he's like, he shoots her. No, wait, she hits him. He shoots her. She smashes his helmet. Then she kisses him. And then just, he thinks it's all good. Then she kicks him again. It's all over the place. Then he reaches for the gun. Real slap, slap, kiss, kiss dynamic.
You are going to die here, Jack. Do you want to die?
No one is going to get what that's a reference to. That is almost as obscure as this fucking book. The odds of there being an overlap.
If you got that, please write in.
Or kill yourself, because you've got as many problems as us. Jesus Christ.
I just find it weird, this like alien... I mean, she's not queen. This alien, like, boss. This alien, like, princess, or whatever the fuck she is.
Bad just, like, alien bosses.
Her attack is, like, kicking the shit out of Jack. Like, she's not using, like, her claws. Like, what's she doing? Is she trying to kill him? What's going on? Why is she just, like, kicking him?
You know, it's like what... You know, it's exactly like that horrific movie cliche, you know, you have this guy that's so strong, you know, like when he's fighting unimportant people, you know, he like punches a hole through them, mm-hmm. He like picks them up and just breaks their neck with one hand and all that shit. But then it gets to the hero and he just like throws them across the room. It's just like, yeah, like you know, you've proved that you're like immediately lethal everywhere else in the film, but because you're fighting the protagonist, suddenly you're just throwing them. All of that other shit is gone.
You just kill them with one swipe.
Exactly. You could just pick them up like you did when you started to throw them and crush their windpipe with your hand. But mm-hmm. no, because the hero has to win, you throw them away to give them a chance. Which is a cliche that once you've noticed it, you realise happens in fucking everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it says it felt like an eternity as she continued to kick at him. Finally, she stopped as he began to gasp for air. And also, I think we should go back and talk about what her intention is with him. Apparently, they want to harvest his DNA seed.
Yeah. Like, what does... I have questions. So, was luring them... Why? Why do they want Jack's DNA?
Because he's clearly the alpha male.
He is clearly, like, the... the ultimate specimen of humanity, which they can integrate into the Rikari somehow. And I wonder, was this meant to be their plan all along? Was this their plan from the second that one Rikari was born on the Vortmund? Were they like, I can taste that this perfect man has been aboard this vessel. We must lure him here and milk him. It's just like, what? So it turns out that the entire alien plot involves getting the hero's spunk, basically.
Yep.
That's their end game. They're like, with your perfect DNA, we can take over the universe. It's like, where the fuck did that come from, and why was it necessary to the story? Nothing about that makes sense. I distinctly remember last chapter being like, this is where, even for this book, things start going off the rails and getting retarded. This is just it getting worse, you know? It's just, this is the start of it all just going downhill in how much sense it made. Like before, it was a shit story, but, it's, I kind of at least understood what was going on. Now I'm just like, I don't know why any of this is happening.
And then, she picks him up and says, you were still as cute as Tona first thought. I guess you will make a good specimen if your DNA seed does not lie. Like, what does that mean, DNA seed lying?
I don't know. I mean, I guess... Like, when did they find this out? Was it when Tona kissed him? Did they know? Have they, like I say, did they always know?
Also, a good specimen for what? Like, to create a new...
Apparently he's like the missing link the Rikari need.
Yeah.
But how? What do they want from him?
Again, like, nothing... And I'm assuming this isn't ever explained later.
Of course not.
Like, I was going to say that... There's no explanation for it, but maybe it's explained later. But there's just no... There's
maybe
no
in the other books it gets maybe, explained. There's I can't no, speak for that, but...
There's no detail put into, like, anything. It's just like, oh, this happens. Oh, and this happened as well. Okay, why? What happens? What?
I mean,
what's going on? What are the motives here?
It's like somehow in what I think was intended to be like a... You know, a relatively gritty sci-fi. Now the hero's the fucking chosen one, but just in the sci-fi regards of it. It's like in Star Wars. It's like, he's got so many midichlorians. You know, he is just, for no discernible reason, he is the perfect man. And that's, I guess, the reason why Tona doesn't kill him, because they can't harvest his DNA when he's dead.
I mean, they've clearly never seen Hollister.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, if Jack is like the alpha specimen, then Hollister's a literal god. That's why they don't want to harvest him. They're like, just like, we could not handle something so pure. It would turn the Rikari, like, into a force for good, having there his blood.
So she then chuckles and begins to kiss him again. So I suppose that leads us on to this week's Chuckle Vision.
Oh, yeah. Chuckle Vision. Chuckle Vision. Da, da, da. so excited. We haven't got to Chucklevision in so many weeks, Louis. So many. So, for Chucklevision, for chapter 21, we have three smirks and that one cheeky chuckle you've just seen right there. That was Chucklevision for this week. Enjoy.
Da, da. Quite disappointing, one chuckle, but I mean, one chuckle's better than no chuckles. Chapter without chuckles is always a
and it's a strong, you know, like from what we've had, it's a strong showing for the chuckles. The week before we had a single chuckle. Week before that, nothing. Then chapter 18, oh, that was a good chuckly week. That had two, but then we didn't have any chuckles for like 5 weeks.
What's
so
the
you know,
point even fucking reading it.
Really, like, you know, the chuckles, they were sparse for a while, so I think that we should bank our one chuckle and enjoy the smirks we're getting, because the smirks in this week were solid.
Bank. I miss Weakest Link.
I don't.
it used to be on, like, when I came home from school.
Yeah, I think that was a terrible thing that happened to a lot of kids our age. Just Anne Robinson looking laminated.
I think it was on just before The Simpsons, if I remember correctly. No, that was... Wait, it was either on before The Simpsons or The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Because I remember
like
they used to
Simpsons.
Do Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and then Simpsons. Or maybe it was the other way around. No, it was the other way around. I think sometimes I would stick around for The Fresh Prince after Simpsons.
And why wouldn't you? For that dreamboat Will Smith. Owen Carlton, he's a lovely boy.
What will they
boy.
Do this week?
Oh,
on BBC
just...
Two.
Tune in. When are the BBC going to sponsor this podcast?
Yeah.
With taxpayers' money. Can you imagine?
As we advertise television programmes from
the early 2000s.
Yeah. And schedules.
That have not existed in a decade. Yeah, why is she still kissing him?
Why? Because it's sexy.
Okay.
You have to know about it.
It's just... I just... like
maybe it's to give him more breathing air.
But that's clearly not... maybe it is the reason. Maybe she's... That's even more retarded than her tonguing air Ricari down his throat. Because he'd run out of air in like 10 seconds. And she was like kicking him for a minute earlier. And he was saying, oh, I can breathe, not like I got a breath. He was like, oh, I'm breathing the atmosphere now. It's just so retarded. And even if it wasn't, how is she getting breathing oxygen into his throat if that's what's happening?
Also, he says, like, sense. To himself, had this kiss been just to keep him alive? Like, why would you do this, like...
Why would you do any of this?
I assume very human act of kissing, like, to... If that was the purpose, why go through that motion, that specific motion? Why not just, like, breathe in air or whatever it is the fuck she does?
It's just a clusterfuck.
Seems like they're kissing for the sake of kissing.
Yeah.
To get that sweet alien X human.
Yeah, because it's sexy. That sweet, sweet smut, Louis.
Yeah, everyone wants to fantasize about alien sex. Now you don't need to.
Exactly. It's been described so well. You know, it's...
Jack's clearly enjoying it because he says that, yeah, we get a description of her skin feeling smooth, but not skin smooth. So not smooth like skin, but scaly smooth.
Don't imagine a babby, imagine a snack.
What the fuck is scaly smooth?
Like a snack. Have you never petted a snake, Louis?
I have.
Then imagine that. You know, they've got that, you're like, ooh... But they're scaly.
Right.
Like a snack.
So she's like a scaly snack.
Yeah.
A smoth scaly snack.
Yeah.
Nice.
Hot, right?
Yeah.
And she's got high heels, which makes everything sexier.
A snake in high heels. Now that is sexy.
I know what I'm Googling tonight. Because you know that exists.
Yeah. I mean...
As we've proved every time we say this, it exists.
Snake in high... Should I be in incognito? I don't want this going on a record.
I mean, we're probably already on a record for this podcast.
There are snake shape or snake themed high heels.
That's not what we want.
No. Google.
Or do I?
Come on, Google. I'm shocked.
I mean, I'm pretty sure if you like add rule 34, you'll get something. You'll get something gross.
Rule 34. Huh. Snake rule 34. That's solid snake. But yep, there's a here's a snake in a strip club.
Hold my high heels.
Here's a snake in a strip club.
Is it like shedding its skin?
It is.
Nice.
Have you seen this before?
I'll let you know. That's amazing. I love that his rattle like pops up in the last screen too.
Of you course. Like that?
Does this count as safe for work? Because I want to link this on Twitter.
You can have not suitable for work, safe for work. See, I know it's not safe for work, but I always misquote it as suitable. I mean, it's the same, but yeah.
Yeah.
That's a little insight into my life.
That this is a worry for you.
Yeah, and so her tongue seems to reach further into his mouth as it plays casually with his. So they're full on necking.
Yep, yep.
And I love this sentence here. If Jack was not stuck in the middle of an alien stronghold surrounded by killer aliens and stuck back in time kissing an alien deformed version of his girlfriend...
I love the deformed.
Yeah, he probably would have been enjoying this. Like, he literally just described exactly what is happening. If exactly what is happening right now wasn't happening...
What
he's
saying is,
myself.
If he was just kissing an attractive woman, he'd be enjoying this.
Yeah. Like, this is such an amazing setup to what is not a punchline. Just a normal sentence in this book.
Yep, yep.
And Jack then gets suddenly tugged away from her, and he has no idea that the room is under fire as he's being dragged along the floor. It's like, what we learn is that this is Tony and Jake. G.I. Jake, who have rappelled in to rescue him, and
I do love
like
how they're just such normal names.
Yeah,
like I don't know why. Like no offense to anyone in the armed forces called Tony or Jake. I'm sure you do a fucking bang up job, but it's just something about the way it's casually stated, it's like Tony and Jake, the Marines.
Yeah, you expect like Lance or something or.
It's, I don't know, if anything, it's more the fact that their names aren't even needed, because their names are never mentioned again.
Yeah. Hold the line, Tony. Watch that gap, Jake.
Yeah,
like
not even that.
Like, to each other, it's like a fucking double act.
Yeah, yeah. But then just never again. it's just like these completely, like, just standard normal people names. Tony and Jake. Sound like a pair of fucking builders.
There's something about them dragging Jack along the ground,
yeah, like,
I find quite
like,
funny.
Like, what is wrong with Jack? Like, don't get me wrong.
That's a big question.
Yeah, I mean, let's reel back the scope a little, that's fair. Why is he nearly unconscious? Is it something to do with the atmosphere? Is it because Tone has been kicking the shit out of him? Like, I'm not clear, because he seemed quite lucid a second ago when he was talking about how he'd be enjoying this, you know. Mm-hmm. That was, you know, quite a coherent thought. There was no part, if they'd, like, ended that, just, like, as she kept fucking tonguing him deeply, you know, his vision started to go cloudy as he ran out of oxygen or something like that.
Maybe he was just, like, orgasming.
Yeah, exactly, you know, he was in that sweet, sexy kiss coma. Gets too sexy, needs to have a sleep, even in the middle of a firefight.
Fully erect.
Yeah, but it's just like, suddenly, Jack's just like, you know, totally hanging. He's like, barely conscious. It's like, where the fuck did that come from?
You know, he's like, just trying to make it as difficult for them as possible, just full ragdoll.
He was like, carry me.
My legs don't work.
I'm tired. But yeah, and also, how? How did Tona and Queen Vilsina do this? Also, bear in mind, while Tona is kissing Jack, kissing him, you know, shattering his helmet and yelling about his perfect gene seed, Queen Vilsina is just like in the back of the room, like nodding and going,
cut cold.
I was like, yes, this is my fetish. Kick him. Now kiss. Yeah, like, I'm still not sure how much autonomy Tona has. Is Queen Vilsina doing this? Is she cucking herself?
And also, just like, I mean, it comes back to the whole, why don't we just fucking kill him? And because he's the main character, but like, what happened to all the Rikari that were...
Yeah, that were all over the ship. And as we find out, the ship's now gone. So where are they? Where are all those Rikari who were charging the platform?
They all just tried to slide off the thing and miss the balcony.
Yeah, they all just ran off the edge like fucking lemmings because only some of them could fly. And they're all dead. They are not smart.
But that's the thing, I can't picture, going back to the whole picture thing, like, if they did slide off and miss, where are they? Are they in space?
They're all, like... they're all caught in a balcony, Louis. They can't get out.
So they slid down to the wrong balcony. Someone else is, like, that's locked.
Exactly. Exactly, you know, it's got one of those security doors that don't open and they're all outside, like, banging against it. Going like, where are the hotel attendants?
Why is this a hotel?
Because they're the only things I ever imagined with balconies.
Like that thing in Arrested Development.
Which I guess goes to show how poor I am, I suppose.
Yeah. Like that bit in Arrested Development where Buster's trying to... where he's trying to... What's it called?
I don't know.
What's that thing called? Where you go along a rope? When you... You know that thing, you know that thing that Batman... You know that thing that Batman did in Batman and Robin, that episode we watched where he
Rappel.
Went like, yeah, that's it. But it's like a long ways.
Abseil. Abseil.
What?
You okay?
Abseil.
I mean, I know you're not, but are you okay?
Yeah. This, where Buster's trying to abseil across with his hook and then just like falls through. falls through all the floors. I don't know if it's relevant in any way, but.
You just want an excuse to stop talking about the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Delete parts of that.
it's retarded. Where did they come from? How did they manage to take him off Tona, who is like super strong, impervious to their weapons? You know, she's strong enough that she can lift up Jack with one hand.
And how did Vilsina not see these Jake and Tony rappel down?
Yeah, fucking Jake and Tony of all people, yo. She's too busy flicking her alien bean to Jack and Tona macking off in the corner. Allowing Jake and Tony to stealthily blow a fucking hole in the ceiling, abseil down, unclip, run across, punch Tona in the gut and run off with Jack.
Oh, flicking her alien bean. That's amazing. And the fact that as they're like rappelling down, they're just yelling at each other like, watch that gap, hold that line.
No, that's like, the thing, that happened after they're, that happened while they're dragging Jack across the ground.
Right.
They've already rappelled down, and because they're having to, again, they're in like this big, you know, throne room for the Queen.
Yeah.
They blew up one corner of it. This is not the corner that Jack and Tona are kissing in. So they had to rappel down in this random empty corner of the room, unclip, run across... Like, just yank Jack away from Tona's embrace and yet pull him away, just like, hold that line, Tony.
Tony.
Now back to the ropes.
Hold that line, Tony.
It's like, take out that one on the left. So are there Rikari in this room? I take it there are.
Yeah, they probably are.
I have no idea what's going on. And how this happened without... How the first Jack, Tona and the Queen knew about this was them running away with Jack.
Also, we mentioned it earlier in the mining chapter. Why are they using fucking rope?
Yeah.
Like,
rope.
The age of plasma rifles,
plasma
and
bullets,
APAC
interstellar
suits.
Travel.
Get the rope.
They have, exactly, as we said in that chapter, they have like surface to space elevators. And they're using rope.
And also, they're like, get him on the rope. What does that mean? How are they attaching him to the rope? Like,
I mean, I'm guessing in his APAC, he's got all sorts of, you know...
Hooks.
Of, you know, what are they called? You know, like, clips and other boondoggles.
I like to imagine he's just being, like, ungracefully winched up, like, hitting the sides of the walls, like...
What I like to imagine is that there is, like, only this one rope, so Jake and Tony have to use it as well. So, you know, Jack is like hooked on at the bottom of this thing and they're both like standing on him and holding onto the cable as he gets lifted up.
How is he so rigid? Because I'm imagining him like being stiff as a... Well, I know he's stiff as a board after that kissing. But I'm just imagining... Him lying horizontally.
He's planking,
just...
you know? It's the,
yeah.
You know, Jack's a bit out of the time. He still thinks planking's cool. He's like, Queen Vilzina, take a picture of me planking as my bros stand on me.
They're going to just, like, dab as they get out. Dab on those haters. Dab on this Rikari. Well, he is called Jake.
It's all making sense. Jake and Tony do sound like they'd dab as they escape.
So, they're being winched out.
Yep.
I mean, actually, as we read that, it says that the ropes are attached to the clips on the APAC suit. But it does make you wonder, like, how many clips are there? Because there's only one rope. It just... Why was the APAC suit built with this in mind?
Well, actually, it says ropes were attached to the clips. So, are there, like... Have they, like, hooked him up to three different ropes?
I like to imagine that he's got a hook on, like, each of his feet and his hands, and he's just...
No, a hook on... one hook on each foot, then one on one of his hands, so he's, like, being winched up in the least comfortable way possible.
Like a sort of Q-op. No control over any of his... Control over each of his limbs, but not any of them at once. Yeah. And he's, like, flailing his other arm.
It's like, why would you do this? There's a clip on my chest.
And they've done it, like, backwards as well.
No, actually, I don't know. I also quite like the idea of just, like, one on both of his feet, so he's being winched upside down.
I've got a good, like, one. He's got one on each of his feet, but, like, like, on his Achilles, and then on the back of his hands. So he's...
Carry on. You can do it.
So he's just going up, like, completely, like, star-shaped, like, but facing down. And he's, like, dipping downwards.
Yeah, in, like, his middle of his body, because his arms can't quite take it. Still fully erect, pointing down, casting a shadow. Anything. Now it's just aiding the blood going to it.
For some reason, I'm just imagining him, like, looking up.
Jake and Tony salute.
They're just going up normally. This just
felt like an eternity hanging from the rope.
This shuttle just flies off. touched.
Like when, like, you know, he's smashing into the walls as the thing, like, pulls away.
That's a great image.
I still to imagine Jake and Tony standing on his back, like, you know, smacking away Ricari and shooting while this is happening. Oh, dear.
So,
who would have thought we would have gotten so much fun from the fact he has multiple ropes attached to his clips?
There's so many other configurations that are probably hilarious.
They're all brilliant.
Too many.
Too many. We have to move on. Or we'll
this
be
sounds like
an
open source game we should make, like a QOP. Attach Jack.
The Ricari winch.
Can you winch Jack into safety?
The less dignity he has, the more points.
Like, the more unstable you make it, the harder it is. But you get more points for flair.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Yeah, eventually he gets heaved onto the shuttle. Eventually they unclip him from his hell. But yeah, and then to pile insult onto injury, they start, like, stripping him in the middle of the shuttle.
Yeah, we did sort of jump over the fact that it did actually say it felt like an eternity hanging from the rope.
It would.
And then, Captain is secure. Get us out of here now. As they start yanking off pieces of his all-purpose gear suit.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason. Like, why? He wasn't, like, attacked or anything.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like he was, like that hurt, you know? Tony just kicked him around a bit. I guess
he was exposed to the atmosphere or something, I don't know.
Maybe. But yeah, turns out Jack had been longer than 5 minutes. The Marines could not make their way to him, so they had to make their own way.
What the fuck does that mean?
It's like they couldn't do it, so they did it.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? What am
I
reading? I
think what it's supposed to be saying is they had to make their own way. Like, they had to go in through the roof. They couldn't make their way the normal way.
They couldn't, like, push back the way they came on foot. They had to, like, improvise.
So the shuttle managed to hover over the roof, apparently not making sound. I don't know. For some reason, I envision a helicopter, which is completely false, but
I imagine it makes some kind of sound. You know, you have to remember that even if the machine itself didn't make sounds, that shuttle is still just like a moving battleground. They are going to be followed by Ricari and being shot at and shooting out the whole time. Everyone in the throne room should have known that the shuttle was above it at this point.
And they attach explosives to the roof, which again is like, really? Explosives? I'm imagining like just planting C4. I mean, I guess it works. If it works, it works. But and yeah, they descend through in what is called a high bird extraction.
I don't remember that episode of Sesame Street.
It was dangerous for everyone, mostly for the shuttle crew, who were sitting ducks in the air.
Yeah, so again, like, they're up there in the air, they can't move. You know, there's only 2 Marines left to hold them off. Still, the ship's fine, being constantly attacked by flying Ricari. Mm-hmm. Still fuck all happens.
And then we're back on the Tranquility with Hollister, who's watching the shuttle come back into the atmosphere of the planet, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Come through the atmosphere of the planet. And it makes its way back to the hangar of the Tranquility.
Mm-hmm.
Where Hollister finds out that they were being pursued, of course, as you'd expect, because of the load of Ricari. But apparently there's only 5 of them following them.
Yeah, and this seems like a good time to remind you that at the end of last chapter, like, its closing out was like this big dramatic Hollister, like, dialed, you know, Queen Felicina was like, ah, you fell into my trap, you're surrounded, and your ship's being attacked. And then, like, and then Hollister calls up. He's like, Hollister's barely keeping the ship together. Hundreds of Ricari cruisers and battle cruisers surrounded them. Thousands more fighters circled them. And then Hollister's like, ITF Tranquility to Captain Jack Hunter. Jack, do you read me? Hollister shouted, you know. No, nothing. Hollister's got no problems up there in space now.
Yeah, he dealt with it all.
Exactly, they're all dead. He killed them all.
Just, like, surrounded by absolute wreckage.
Exactly, and all gone, no problem. And now they're, and yet, you know, they're worried about these five ships after destroying all of that. They're like, don't worry, fire the flak rounds, which is why he's like, no, don't send out our fighters, because we don't have enough. Because we don't have many of them and we can't replace them. Let's just fire like a massive flak barrage because we can replace it. So, you know, he's so scared and he's like, we're going to like use massive overkill to just like completely empty the area with ordnance to like clear five ships after that apparent clusterfuck that he was in, which, let's be honest, was just forgotten about. They didn't we didn't want to deal with the, you know, it's ridiculous enough that, you know, they escaped from the things on foot. They escaped from, like, the low-lying, flappy ones. Then in their ship, they break through any, you know, other ships that they had in the air, that there are only five of them following them. And then they to, like, break through, like, 1,000 ships attacking Hollister. That would have been too much, so just forget about them. It didn't happen. It was all a trick by Queen Vilzina, you know. It didn't actually happen. That's the plot twist. She was using her psychic powers to make Jack think Hollister said that to him. Yeah, retcon.
So rather than flying out ships to take these five ships on, as you said, he basically just says, we're going to fire loads of cannons, or not cannons, I suppose turrets, he calls them, on the port side, and just absolutely shrek them. It says that he knew exactly what to do in situations like this. He might waste ammo with this, but ammo can be quickly remade. I mean, sure.
I guess.
Can it?
I don't know. I mean, you'd think they'd have finite resources, like, you know, because, I mean, I guess they'd been mining for a while. Maybe they have enough to make bullets for, like, the foreseeable forever.
Yeah, in this transport ship.
Well, you got to remember, it transformed Louis because they went... Because they used a warp drive to go to another universe, so obviously their ship turned into a battleship. Remember, idiot?
I mean, Hollister was right, obviously. His plan works, and the shuttle gets
shredded. I don't know why Tona didn't want him. Why didn't they want his DNA seed? Now you see, that's spunk worth hunting, Louis.
It opened up hell on the organic, fast-moving fighters and ripped to shreds in a plume of red and brown mist. And then I think we get something... Yeah. For the first time, which is like a sentence that my book doesn't have that yours does.
Yeah, I think so. I don't... Like, we've had words changed before. We've even had a couple of names changed. But I don't think that we've just had a sentence that was in one that now isn't in another.
Mm-hmm.
It's always just been, like, word changes, I thought. But yeah, so in my one, there's an extra sentence at the start of the final paragraph where it's like, Jack was rushed to get to the infirmary to get a check over as Hollister had the navigator set course for the wormhole they'd arrived through. And Louis just doesn't have it.
I wonder if later on in the chapter, is it referenced that Jack was injured?
I don't know. Well, that's the thing. If... He doesn't have to be injured, though, because it's just saying he's getting a check over because, you know, he was alone on an alien planet and
maybe it made Jack look weak.
Maybe.
But it's quite weird as well that the penultimate paragraph ends in a comma.
In both versions.
And then the final paragraph ends in no punctuation whatsoever.
Yeah.
So keep that in both books.
Yep. Don't change that. I mean, it'll come up with a squiggle in Word, Louis, won't it? It tries to tell you.
It tries.
It doesn't always do it right, you know. Sometimes I make the executive decision to overrule what the word squiggles tell me, but it tries to help.
And then, yeah, that's basically where the chapter ends. It says that the course of the ITF Tranquility would be dependent on if they could get through whatever Rikari ships were waiting for them at the wormhole.
I was going to say, I don't know why they've decided that the Rikari are waiting around the wormhole. I don't think the Queen ever implies that. She's like... There are ships up there to ambush the Tranquility, which has happened and now not happened. But yeah.
Also, so, where's the insurrectionists?
They're at the other side of the wormhole, 50,000 years into the future.
Why didn't they go through?
I don't know. I guess they weren't as retarded as Jack.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's not hard. I mean, so that's a very low bar you're holding them to.
So is their plan now to just go back through the wormhole they came in through?
Yeah. They came. Okay. They went back in time to follow Tona.
Fuck all.
Yeah. This was completely pointless.
Didn't follow the rule of not changing anything in the future, in the past.
Yeah, they let him.
I'd like, they get through, and like this, like, there's like a Ricari president on Earth or something.
Yeah, as far as I can, if I recall, nothing in the future changes. It's, you know, it's treated like a wormhole through space. You know, like the just to like an alternate universe. Like nothing. I don't think there anything would have changed if they were like. If it was just like a wormhole to another universe, the fact that it's through time seems to have no effect. If it was just like, this is a wormhole to a universe where the Ricari are still alive, the story would be exactly the same. The fact that it's back in time doesn't seem to have any payoff, which is why my hot take for how it's going to end, it's going to turn out that like Tona is like the original Ricari or something. She's going to like lay the egg that they find. And it's going to be like a closed loop or something like that. That's not based on anything. That hasn't happened in anything I've read. But that's my prediction. Because it's such a fucking trite cliche that they'll be the one that put the egg there that they find. That's what I bet happens.
Yeah, and so that's where the chapter ends. They're on their way back to the wormhole. And yeah. It's exciting times.
Yep, pretty much. It's just... There's no... You pointing that out has just made me realise that there really is no reason for them to go through this wormhole. I'm thinking forward, and in this book at least, I mean, I don't know, maybe something crazy will happen in the other ones that makes the time travel totally worth it rather than needlessly intricate and confusing. But maybe it'll all come together. But from like Tona managed to like create like an army in the ship in like a few hours. It's like they could have just had her like shoot off to a planet, have her be the enemy rather than Queen Vilzina, or let that still just exist. Just be like, this is the manifestation of like the alien mind that's controlling Tona, and it's just there. But they could have easily have just had it happen on a planet. I don't see what going through this wormhole back in time does to the story. Aside from make it even more of a fucking clusterfuck. Like I say, we've jumped the shark now, Louis. Things were retarded before, but now they're just getting more and more nonsensical as things go along.
I can't wait to see where it goes, to be honest.
Yep. It's gonna be a trip, the last 10 chapters. I mean, 9 now, I guess. You know, we really are on the home straight. Don't expect anything to be tied up by this.
Okay.
I mean, it's a trilogy, though, so, you know, gotta keep it open for the sequel. When you buying your copy, Louis? I've got mine.
Yeah, definitely. We'll be looking into it.
I mean, I know we're not reading it next, but, you know, the future's a bright and happy place. But, yeah, got any final comments for Chapter 21? I think we've exhausted the possibilities on my end.
Yeah, I think, like we said, it's always good to be back.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's like I say... Things happen in this. Like, it's like Sonic High School, as we described it, is just like a collection of sexual acts strung together by incoherent sentences.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, but there's nothing to analyze, you know, there's no story in it or anything. It's just, and the characters are just, you know, entirely one-dimensional. You know, it's like, You can tell that love has gone into this. He has thought about things, and there is a story. It's just the execution was lacking.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully the next book will be a bit better. We'll find out, but after 9 chapters.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've owned it, but I haven't actually read it, and I will definitely read it, like, in its entirety, but, you know, I need to be fresh, you know, I need to finish this experience. Like, if I knew, like, it would poison me talking about this book on its own as a single entity, and I don't want to do that to myself. So, yeah, I think that's it. That's chapter 21's over. We're back in the happy world with Jack Hollister. A little sneaky peek, but next chapter's a Tiberius one, so hold on to your butts, boys and girls. We're going to be joining the goateed maestro himself. There is no indication that he has a goatee in the book. But, yeah, so we've been two absolute bookends. Follow our social medias, and we'll join you next time for Chapter 22 of The Way the Stars Fall Rebirth by Lewis Stockton. Please support the author. See ya.
See ya.